Lowe's knows how to turn big plans into real results. Whether it's new appliances or a home refresh, get started with 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with the My Lowe's Rewards Credit Card, January 15th through the 30th. So you can invest in your upgrade now and pay over time. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payment required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Plug those headphones in. It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, recorded at our studio in the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before we let you know what we want to talk about on this latest edition, I want to give a couple of shout-outs to a couple of our current show sponsors. The first one is we want to promote a book called Safe, which is a new book which tells the true story of Priscilla and Amy Granger's escape from domestic violence and their subsequent work to prevent others from suffering. Reviews from readers to date have called it sensational, compelling, and filled with heart. Now, you can buy your copy of this important and inspirational book today at safe-thebook.ie. That's safe-thebook.ie. It's available in paperback and ebook formats for just $14.99. The book is called Safe, and it's available from safe-thebook.ie. And we also want to give a shout out to another one of our show sponsors.
Yes, if you are in the position of wanting to find a new job, or that's on your radar at the moment, why not download the app recruit.ie? It's available in the App Store right now on your phone, and your dream job could be just one tap away. Recruit.ie is the brand new app that has made it more, well, easier than ever before to find your dream job. Browse hundreds of jobs from Ireland's leading employers and apply in one tap. And by the way, it's not only, you can't only apply for jobs on the app. You can also get access, Adrian, to virtual recruitment fairs, free career advice, so much more. It's possibly the most important app you will download today, recruit.ie.
And we would like to thank recruit.ie and Safe the Book for being current sponsors of the Opinions Matter podcast. So, what do we want to talk about on this latest edition? A message came into us over the weekend, and it's very blunt and to the point. I know yous probably won't cover this because it doesn't suit your agenda, but shame on you if you don't, because you need to stick up for your own people. That's how the message started. I'm a mother of two young girls and I live in Finglas, and I can tell you this. I am terrified to leave the house over this refugee thing. These unvetted men all here are keeping us prisoners in our own home. I won't even let my daughters walk home from school anymore. Everyone in Finglas is terrified and living in fear, and the media won't talk about it. Women are being attacked, and I heard the other day that a woman in my estate was nearly abducted by a foreigner. Are we right to be afraid? There's abductions and assaults taking place every day out here, and we aren't going to let it go on. I won't be a prisoner in my own home. Be real men and talk about this. Now, the reference is to, there's been a lot of stuff happening in the Finglas area over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
One, for example, and this is as reported by the Sunday World, Gardaí launch investigation after alleged sex assault on young woman on Finglas Street. Okay, it is understood that the woman had been dropped off near her home when she was allegedly attacked. Gardaí have launched an investigation. The incident happened at Capa Road in Finglas on the early hours of Friday morning. So that's one alleged sexual assault.
Now, as Adrian says, the word is alleged, which means unconfirmed, not proven. All right, that's why he's using the word alleged. And I had this argument.
That's the word the guards use in their statement as well.
That's the word you have to use by law. And I had this argument with some Egypt on Facebook yesterday. He was saying, no, it did happen, the rape. I was like, you cannot say that. In other words, everything until it's proven in a court of law is alleged, okay? So the only details about that particular incident that I've seen are posts on Facebook, okay? And I don't think we should, and this is not trying to shy away from that story, I don't want to even mention that story. Number one, because if it is true and this did happen, that woman is in a lot of distress at the moment and doesn't, need to hear something so distressful being debated on a show.
And I'm not, we're not going to debate it.
And that is the only reason. So if you care, if the, whether it's true or not true, if you care about that woman or you know that woman, you shouldn't want that debated and you shouldn't want it. I mean, here's the problem with that particular story. People were actually naming girls that they thought it was on social media. How fucking, now it's pardon my French because I'm angry about this. How fucking stupid do you need to be to start naming people that you think were a victim of a sexual assault? Imagine you seeing...
And the alleged victim having to come along and say, oh, no, no, it wasn't me.
Imagine you seeing that alleged your daughter's name up on Facebook saying Laura Kennedy was sexually...
That's disgusting. I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay, over the last couple of days, I've been monitoring social media to see how many stories have come up. And here's what I found on Facebook. Okay, first of all, I believe about 5% of things that I see on Facebook. And when you see a post by Joe Bloggs, who lives in Finglas or Ballymun, yeah, that's not confirmation to me. I saw four stories on Facebook about women being stalked in Finglas. I saw three stories about alleged sexual assault in Finglas. I saw two stories of attempted abductions in Finglas, and in fact one of them, we'll be talking to the girl at centres, one was posted there the other day, and it says, it's from a fella called Noel, and he said on Facebook, in fact I'll give his name because he says it on, Noel Duffy, he made it public so we may as well say it, on Facebook, and he said, attempted woman abduction, I don't even know what that means, attempted woman abduction in Northwood Santry, three non-nationals, Gardaí are at the scene. Now, by the way, four stories of attempted kidnappings. So that's just what I've read on Facebook over the last couple of days. Now, here's the thing. I want to tell you a little story about a friend of mine and their child. And I'll tell you very quickly. A friend of mine has a 9-year-old boy. And on Friday morning, he was leaving for school. And his mother was parked about two blocks away from the school. And the idea was that he would walk from the school gate over to the car. And as he was walking over to the car from the school, which is in a very safe neighbourhood, a car pulled up with two Somalian men in the car, and they tried to grab this 8-year-old child and put him into the back of the car. This happened outside that school. Two Somalian men pulled up in the car, tried to grab the child, and luckily his mother was there to stop him from getting into the car. So he could have been taken by two Somalian men. That happened on Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon. Now, that's completely false. I just made that up right now. Just made that up off the top of my head. Mm. To prove the point that I could put that up on Facebook right now. I could put that up on our page now. That my friend's son was almost kidnapped by two Somalian men outside of school. And it will be shared thousands of times. And you'll get a flurry of comments. Kick them out, kick them out, kick them out. They got to go, they got to go, they got to go. You are all so stupid for believing. I'm not saying that everything on Facebook.
No, because it's not all made up.
But a lot of it is. And if you were the type, and most of you probably would believe that story if I put that up. Because I just made it up. It is so easy to make up stories. And people believe these stories. And that is the scary thing.
Okay, I want to just set the scene for what's happening in Finglas right now. So there was this alleged sexual assault happened on Friday morning. By Saturday afternoon, a group of women gathered in Finglas Garda Station and held a protest after what happened on Friday, allegedly. This is in the lobby of Finglas Garda Station. So this group of women gathered in the lobby of Finglas Garda Station on Saturday afternoon, demanding action to make Finglas a safer place. Now,
sorry for just cutting across, because people are now commenting in, oh God, this just proves it. People are now commenting on our Facebook page saying, oh my God, where did this happen about your friend's child being abducted by two Somalians? And how did you know they were Somalian? Okay.
This is exactly the point that Jeremy's trying to prove here.
It was a made up story. Even though I said it was a made up story, none of you heard that. Of course I didn't know they were Somalian, because A, it didn't happen. And B, how could you possibly know they were Somalian? Yet every day on Facebook, people are posting up, oh, my sister's granny's aunt was stalked by an asylum seeker who was definitely from the Ukraine. Now, how would you possibly know the nationality of these people?
Okay, so anyway, that was early Saturday evening, that protest in Finglas Garda Station. But earlier on Saturday, a journalist from the Irish Times went to an encampment which is near Ashtown on the banks of the Talca River. And she went there to, she's going to tell us the whole story, because she happened to come across a group of men hell-bent on attacking the people who were living in this encampment. The journalist's name is Kitty Holland, and she joins us on the line now. And Kitty, you went to this encampment to report on the homeless crisis.
Yeah, and the, I suppose, the extent to which people are going to kind of survive that. I didn't know who was going to be there or whether they'd be welcoming or not. I didn't know if they'd be Irish or foreign or what. But anyway, went in. They were a little bit wary at first, but then they were very kind of welcoming, and it turned out that they were six migrant men, or mainly EU nationals, actually, from Poland, Hungary, Croatia, Portugal. There had been a guy from Scotland, but he'd left, and a guy from India. And they showed us around and showed us where they were sleeping and the tents where they were storing their stuff. And one of them had made a kind of a roof with a tarpaulin sheeting over his area. And then there was another guy who worked in construction who'd made a sort of a bit of a shed for himself where he was storing his stuff and sometimes sleeping. And that was going to be the story. So then the photographer took quite a while taking some pictures, and we went back to the rugby club which is up the road a little bit, Coolmine Rugby Club, where we parked to get our cars. And then we were driving back in separate cars back towards the city centre. And we saw these men arriving and walking up towards where the camp was and sort of trying to climb in over the ditch. And I could sort of tell exactly where they were headed because just the way they were trying to make their way into that side of the ditch. And they had dogs and baseball bat and some sticks. One of them was wearing a black balaclava, and so the whole thing looked quite menacing. So I had a feeling where they were headed, and rang the photographer. He was ringing me at the same time because he'd seen them too. And we parked up around the corner and ran back. I heard shouting and commotion from down in the camp area. There was kind of banging and a lot of shouting and sort of get out and pack up and leave now and that kind of thing. And I'd say they kind of heard me before I arrived in, because I was sort of screaming, what are you doing, stop it. And by the time we got there, they were in retreat.
Do you believe, Kitty, that it was your presence that disturb these guys and their attack?
Well, I don't know I don't know what their intention was. I don't know if their intention was to go down there and give them all a good fright and only to stay there and shout at them a bit and leave, or whether their intention was to stay longer and do other stuff. But I mean, one person got very badly hit, he said, with the baseball bat, and the other guy, Portuguese guy, said he'd been assaulted as well, though didn't seem to be injured, but he said he'd been hit. So I don't know what way it would have gone. Maybe they were only planning to go down there, hit them once or twice and then leave. I don't know. So
okay, but the
speculation.
The end result of this intimidating attack by a group of men with dogs, sticks and baseball bats was that these migrants who were living in this tented area have now left. Is that right?
They said they were going to leave, and I understand from talking to Dublin Simon, who do the Rough Sleeper Outreach team, that they've been engaging with a few of them, that they're now, they're not there anymore, that they've left. And I suppose you can hardly blame them. They weren't feeling that safe anyway over the last week or so, and that was really convinced them, I think, that it was time to go.
Now, these individuals that were living in this this camp, I know the Irish Times had been there before, is that right?
No, we hadn't.
Oh, sorry, it was just the day before, or that day?
Oh, yeah, just that day. Oh, yeah, no, that was day. So there was literally 10 minutes between because I had gone down. So myself and the photographer met at the rugby club. I travelled in his car down to the camp. We could have walked it in sort of like 10 minutes, but we went in together. He parked his car, and then afterwards he drove me back to the rugby club to get my car. And
all right, it was just complete fluke that you happened to be there moments before these guys launched their attack on the camp.
Yeah. And in fact, I would have left earlier if I wasn't dependent on Dara to get my car, because it was really cold and he was taking ages taking photos, and I would have said, good luck. If Dara hadn't taken quite a while taking photos, we would have been gone by the time they arrived.
So, what did you make of this attack, although it wasn't perhaps what it might have been? What do you think is fueling attacks like this?
Well, I mean, the reason they said they were there was that they said that there was a, because I said, like, what are you doing? Why are you here? And one of them said, you know, they were involved in an assault, that there was an assault in the past week in the area, and that they had linked, either they had or someone else had linked these men to that, and that was their motivation for being there. But I suppose there's an air in the atmosphere at the moment of a very kind of anti-migrant, anti-immigrant sort of atmosphere that is growing and has really, I think, gone up a tick in the last 3 months or so. I don't know if it was a attack based on skepticism of, you know, the right of foreign nationals to be camping there, or the right of anyone to be camping there, or whether they genuinely believe that there was, you know, that they were, the men there were violent and were involved in violence. I don't know what the motivation for that is.
One of the narratives around at the moment is that a lot of people are coming into the country undocumented. But what's interesting about this group of men is the vast majority of them are European Union citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, all but one, which is European Union citizens. So, you know, they've as much right to be here and work as, you know, you or I would have in Poland or Hungary or France or Croatia or Portugal to go and work as well. So, yeah, they'd every right to be here. They were, like a lot of the people, had kind of fallen on hard times. Things had gone wrong for them in terms of, rent and the housing crisis. And they were there, like an awful lot of Irish people, in tents, and had kind of found a peaceful little enclave down by the River Talca. But, you know, it wasn't a very nice place to live. It was dirty and muddy and filthy and smelly, and I wouldn't want to be there, but, you know, maybe it's better than sleeping on the streets in Dublin city centre. But yeah, they were just the same as any other homeless person on the streets, really, in terms of their circumstances.
Irish Times reporter Kitty Holland, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks a million, Adrian. Talk to you again.
It's Ireland's most talked about podcast, the only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
Just a moment ago, we were talking to an Irish Times journalist who described to us in detail what happened at an encampment in Ashtown on Saturday afternoon. She, by complete fluke, ended up there on Saturday and essentially interrupted what the guys were planning to do. I want to just bring you some reaction from local TD Ruth Coppinger, who has organised a rally against this sort of thing. Have a listen to what Ruth Coppinger has had to say.
Well, the protest at 6 o'clock at Ashtown is very important for the community and anybody who is concerned about racism to stand out and show their solidarity, because the attack on a group of homeless men in Ashtown on Saturday was a sickening low in the spiral of recent racist acts that we've seen that have been stirred up in the main by far-right agitators. We know that Ashtown is a very diverse community. It's a very anti-racist community. And the fact that something like this happened very close by, that these men were physically attacked and scared, it's sending out a message, not just to people who are homeless, but to everybody who's not Irish, who's living in this community. And the far right want to divide people.
Okay, so that was Ruth Coppinger speaking about the attacks and the planned protests that she has been involved in organising. Let's take your calls. If you want to get involved in this conversation, our number is 085-825-2626. Let's go to Olivia. You're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Olivia.
Hiya, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Olivia. Well, what did you want to say on this? What's your reaction to what has been happening in Finglas and the reaction to it?
Well, you know, you're speaking there to Katie Holland. She is a reporter. They're going to get her point of view, and her point of view is from a reporter. You have a TD there who's going to give you her opinion based on, you know, what she's looking for from her constituents, and that's Ashtown up in the apartment. It's all mixed. My opinion is coming from the heart and from being someone who lives in Finglas. I'm in the community. I have four children, I have two young girls here with me, and we are terrified.
Okay, what are you terrified of?
Well, people are saying the scaremongering going on, that there's a lot of racism. I don't see it that way. The scaremongering is because they're hearing stories based on them not being part of this community and not knowing individuals who have been attacked, raped, who are being bullied, who are being intimidated. And the stuff that you're seeing posted on Facebook, there's no charges yet because of very recent events. That girl, did a night that was raped. She was savagely beaten. She's part of this community. It is absolutely terrifying, terrifying. All households in the Finglas and wider community. How can people say that, you know, you're being racist and, you know...
Okay, let me just deal with that that alleged attack. And that's how the Gardaí are describing it, as an alleged attack.
There's no charges, obviously, because it's very recent.
And no arrests have been made. That's important to note, okay? But...
There's no arrests made because they haven't caught them.
Okay, I want to ask you two questions. One is, do you believe that the person or persons involved in this alleged attack were foreign nationals? And if you do believe that, what is that belief based on?
It's based on the victim being able to give some sort of information. And there's another attack as well as that. You know, not an attack, it was an incident in Cabra. I know the girl personally. She was followed and kind of heckled on the street, and she had to run into the shops and she had to ask someone to drive her home. And that chap, I believe, is a foreign national.
You believe?
I believe. Well, I can't put my finger on it, but this is where the fear is coming from, because this.
My question is, you just said you believe it's a foreign national, and it may well be, but what I'm hearing here is every single attack or assault or sexual attack, whether it is or not, is being blamed on foreign nationals. Now, I don't know if you know much about Finglas, and I'm sure you do. An awful lot of the shit that goes on in Finglas is nothing to do with foreign nationals.
That would be true as well. But, you know, I deal with a robber or a drug addict any day. You go up against a racist or somebody who wants to hurt women, you don't stand a chance.
Okay, but, and again, sadly, over the years, there have been many rapes in Finglas, not by foreign nationals.
Right, but this one is.
This one you believe is. This one you believe is.
You can correct me on that, and we'll go with that.
Hang on. You have to believe. You have to believe in you know, innocent until proven guilty. You have to believe in a court of law, and you have to believe that until no charges have been made. From what we know, we don't know where that person hails from. The alleged assailant in that. So we know very little at the moment. Now, what Adrian was saying, and I have the figures in front of me. Every year in Ireland, there's approximately 2,000 serious sexual assaults that take place. Right. They're only the ones that are reported, by the way. So you can double that for the amount that aren't reported. So how come there wasn't marches last year, the year before, the year before that? The point that I think Adrian is trying to make is that sexual assaults are the most disgusting crime that you can commit. But this is not a new problem to Ireland. And I'm sure there have been cases of...
On any level, it's a disgrace, you know. On any level, of course it is.
But would you take more...
They're happening more frequently. They're more frequent. And, just, you know, as the story goes, you know, and the Chinese whisper, you know... we can make it out anyway we want.
But okay, but let me ask you another question.
So these are the reason why people are scared. People in the Fingers community are scared.
Okay, but let me ask you another question then. So this alleged assault happened on Friday. You believe it was a foreign national. A lot of people are talking about, the fear of undocumented migrants living amongst us and all of that. What is your reaction to what happened at that encampment on Saturday afternoon? Yes.
I think we'll never get the full story of it to begin with. But where I actually live...
I'm prepared to listen to the story as it was told by the only person who was actually a witness, and that is that journalist, Kitty Holland, that we talked to a couple of minutes ago.
She described
men with dogs, sticks and baseball bats attack a Dublin migrant camp. Now, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I think that they must have been scared. But, you know, if the men went in there based on their belief that somebody in there had assaulted someone, I don't know what the assault was. I don't really know the details of that. But I will tell you that any area that would have an encampment, whether it's Fingless or Ashtown or anywhere, the residents who live locally are going to be scared. You know, whether they're from the EU, whether they're Irish. I mean, I've seen the canal decked out with tents over the years, and they were lifted and they were dumped on the homeless Irish. I've seen a report, I don't know whether it was Dublin Live or somewhere like that, and he was saying, we're not scared, we're going nowhere, like, we know we're living here illegally, we're going nowhere. So why is it okay for them to live there illegally and the Irish homeless have moved on from wherever they are? I mean, they're living in...
Okay, but then let me ask you, do you support these guys arriving on Saturday with dog sticks and a baseball bat to smash up this camp?
I don't know anything about it, to be honest with you. I'd have to know the full story, like yourselves, you know. I'd have to know the full story. I don't really know anything about it. But the thing is, if the police didn't move the man and the council didn't help them and they're being left sitting there, you know, they were sitting ducks, weren't they?
But I think the point...
Who are these men?
But
because they turn around and say, oh yeah, like, I'm from here, I'm from there. Nobody knows who they are. If they're living in the community and they're housed and they're looked after in the community, at least then, you know, they're able to integrate.
But the point that Adrian is making...
You know, the inclusive part is socially, you have to include people.
Okay, Olivia, listen to me for a second. Olivia, but what this topic is about today, and the point that Adrian was making, is that people are now at fever pitch, and a lot of that, people are now at the stage, and I know this from seeing on social media, people are now at the stage that as soon as they see someone who looks even vaguely foreign, who doesn't have red hair and freckles and white skin...
Because of the actual fact that these events have happened in Finglas, in Ballymun, in Northwood, in Cabra, and I mean, even the ones in town where Irish people are arrested for them, people are afraid.
So
refugees. So it doesn't matter if you have red hair or freckles. There's plenty of people being convicted of rape and assault that have red hair and freckles. Like,
so when you see a post on Facebook, you go onto Facebook this evening, and you see a post from I get a call, Angie. Okay, and Angie posts on her Facebook page. And she says, "I was walking home from work tonight, and I got followed by two Somalian men who tried to drag me into the back of their car." When you see that post, what do you think?
I think my God, I'd like more details. I think, my God, the girl must be scared. What area was it in? I'd be worried. You know, there's so many different levels of worry. When I hear of that poor girl in Finglas, shouldn't I? When I hear of that, I have two little girls. I won't let them walk to school or walk back or go to the shops. People are afraid to let their kids out to play.
Okay, stay there for one second, Olivia, if you can, please. Our number is 085-825-2626. If you want to get involved in this conversation, Rachel, you're on. Opinions matter. How are you, Rachel?
How you doing? So far, you're on 21 minutes, and I've wasted 21 minutes of airtime talking about things. You're on about facts. That reporter that went into the park thinks because she went in that she stopped something from happening. That is the most ridiculous thing she could say. If them lads were going in there to do something, they would have done it. She wouldn't have stopped them.
So what do you think they were up to?
She has nothing to report on. This is a local park where children play. No one should be camping in any kids' park where they have their little bit of freedom. Nobody, no matter what nationality they are. So obviously, nothing happened. She's nothing to report on. She's a reporter. It's her job. She's looking to get out there and get her little...
But can I just tell you, hang on for one second, right? Rachel, wait for a second. There were... threats circulating on social media about this camp in recent days concerning the camp where the men have been living. That's a fact.
Would you like it in your local park? See, the thing is with you and Adrian and that reporter and Leo, you all live in a different area where it doesn't happen.
Oh, here we go. The working class chip on your shoulder never takes.
What it is.
It is a working class chip on your shoulder. So you don't know what what area any of us live in. If you think we live in gated communities in Fox Rock, I live in a normal estate.
Doesn't happen to you. Here, I'll even stay over the south side more now because it doesn't happen to you. Well, let's talk about facts. But that's what we're here to talk about.
Okay, so what facts have you got?
My 15-year-old daughter was in town on Friday on O'Connell Street in broad daylight, and there was a foreign national waving a knife around the place, attacking girls verbally and waving a knife at them. The girls are all terrified. My 15-year-old, I had to have a conversation with her last night on what to do to protect herself if she is attacked. I shouldn't have to have that conversation with my 15-year-old. I've got a 26-year-old and a 30-year-old. I never have to have that conversation. And here's another fact. Why is the government letting all these nationals in to camp in parks when we can't look after them? Why let them in? And why loads of men from everywhere? Meant to be Ukrainians where we opened up, we let them in.
But let's talk about facts then. Okay, you want to talk about facts? Okay, let's talk about the facts.
Hang on.
Relax.
Nothing to report.
Between 6 and 8 men were in this camp. They were Polish, Croatian.
Yeah, you're bringing it back to the camp. Let's not talk about the camp.
Let's talk about the camp. Hang on for 1 second. Let's talk about. I have only your word to take for that story.
Is my word not good enough?
No, I've allowed you to tell your story.
Listen, Adrian, I didn't post anything about that. I didn't report that. I've done nothing about that. I just told my child what to do to protect herself. So I'm not one of these ones that goes on Facebook and is looking for everything. I'm a grandmother. I'm a mother. I'm an intelligent, working woman. I know what I see, what I hear, what I know is what I'll go by. And there's fear in the community, and there's right to be fear, because the government is letting all these men
I want to go back because you attack this journalist for what she's seen and what she's written. She saw men with dogs, sticks, and a baseball bat attack the migrant camp. Now,
listen, I see people with dogs and sticks all the time going around fingers and tablets. Doesn't mean they're attacking people. So they're in a park with their dogs. What she's seeing is absolutely ridiculous, what she's stating. She thinks that she actually stopped them from doing something.
No, she didn't say she stopped them. She didn't say she stopped them. I asked that question, whether she thought she did.
Yeah, you asked it, which is a ridiculous thing to ask. If they're going to do something, they do it. She's not going to stop them. Come on. They weren't going there to do it. They're going there because their kids are meant to play in that park. They're meant to, their wives are meant to be able to walk in that park.
Okay, but it's up to them. It's up to them to go and sort it out then, is it?
So what do the guards do? The guards got paid millions for overtime, and where are they? I drove around Finglas last night because I've got my 15-year-old has a 14-year-old friend that lives 2 minutes away from the alleged, what you keep pointing out, rape, which the Sunday World put it in their paper, so it was that important for them to report.
The Sunday World, hang on for 1 second, the Sunday World also said alleged. They didn't state it as fact.
Yeah, I know it is. I know you keep saying that word, but listen, we all know what happened, so that's just it.
The question that I want to ask you is, this fear that is in the community that you describe so well, this fear is leading, is it not, to attacks like happened in Ashtown on Saturday?
I'm going to answer the question you asked me before you didn't let me answer it first, and then I'll answer that one. There's no police around. I drove around for an hour last night because I'm the concerned parent that dropped the 14-year-olds because I'm not having a walk in the streets anymore. And this is what we're like now. The fear is unreal in all women. You are men. It's different when you've got women. It's different when you've got daughters. You do not want them hurt.
Okay, but again, the question...
I drove around... Let me finish, please. I drove around for an hour in Finglas last night. I didn't see one patrol car. I didn't see any coppers walking the street. There's nothing happening.
Okay. On that, I'm not going to argue with you because I had cause to I had cause to ring Finglas Garda Station the other night, and I rang four times and it wasn't even answered. So
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Finglas Garda Station do nothing. I was stopped by a car a couple of weeks ago by two men, and they abused me, told me they were policemen, wouldn't show me ID, and I'm a grown woman. My 15-year-old was in the back, but they didn't know because the windows are blacked out. When I went to Finglas Garda Station, they didn't even care what I was saying to them. They just gave me the ombudsman number to ring in case they are real policemen. And that's it. Sure, I don't know. If they didn't see my child in the back, what was going to happen to me?
Mm. Okay, stay there for one second, Rachel. I want to bring in Darren. You're on Opinions Matter, Darren. How are you?
How are you, Adrian?
Ed, what do you want to say on this, Darren?
I just want to ask that lady a question.
Off you go.
Why wasn't she this passionate about trying to get all the tubs to stop doing what they're doing in the Finglas area over the last few years? Why was she asked why to stop that?
Because it hasn't been happening for years, and then that's why.
Oh, my God.
Ask me a good question, will you, please? Listen to me. I'm passionate about anything that involves my kids' safety. So, have you got children for service? You don't understand passion. Sorry.
Oh,
next question. We're talking about this topic. We're talking about now. We're not talking about the last 10 years in Ireland. We're not talking about when the English robbed the potatoes. We're talking about now. That's the topic, so stay on the topic and talk about that. Let's not waste
their
time.
Yeah.
Okay, well Darren, let me ask you then. Can you understand why there is fear in the community in Finglas?
I can understand, yeah. But all these alleged attacks are all bullshit.
Oh, my God, you're bullshit, Darren.
Like, you can't say for definite if that happened. I don't give a shit if you know Holly down the road. Holly down the road from Captain Shite.
Darren, do you know that it didn't happen? Because you can't say
what?
It didn't happen.
You can't say it did.
I'm going by what I know.
You don't know.
Here, Darren, listen to me a little twat. I haven't mentioned one thing about what's being reported on Facebook. I'm talking about what I have experienced, all right?
So that's
the difference here. I'm talking about facts. So like, if you're not going to talk about something like intelligence, and if you haven't got a good question, hang the phone up, please, because you're wasting your time.
You just can't answer it.
Don't have kids. Go to the daughter and then come back to me in 10 years' time and let me know how you feel, yeah? When she's second, like, coming home.
Really?
With your fear in that. With your fear in that. Because our friends were all, like, abused by non-nationals. This is what's happening. A few weeks ago, there was another non-national on O'Connor Street, broad daylight, naked.
No, but Rachel, if you can just calm it down. If you can just calm it down for a second, okay? I think the point that Darren is making.
But
opinions matter, and his opinion matters as much as yours.
But Rachel,
the point he's trying to make, and he's probably making it not the best way, but the point he's trying to make. No, but just listen to me. The point I think he's trying to make is that Finglas was never the safest place to live in. And I mean, if you look at any news stories from Finglas over the last 10 years, you will see, you know, gangland shootings, drug deals gone wrong, you will see all that sort of stuff. And I think the point I think the point he's trying to make is, why wasn't there marches 10 years ago? Before those asylum seekers even came here in the last year, why weren't you marching on, you know, known drug dealers in the Finglas area that were recruiting your children? I'm not talking about your children, by the way. I'm talking about children in the area. Yeah.
That's not the topic.
But it is. If you're all about protecting your women and protecting your, I mean, the rapes have occurred in Finglas at the hands of Irish men for years, as they have in many other estates. So if you're your whole mantra here, your whole raison d'être is to protect, and you're dead right. Every parent should want to protect your children. Your whole thing is to protect your children and to protect yourself. And the point I think Darren was making is, why didn't you do this before? Why aren't you trying to protect yourself from the Irish? There's as many Irish scumbags, by the way, in Dublin. I'm not just talking about Fingus, by the way, in Dublin, as there are foreign nationals. I mean, there's a video doing the rounds at the moment of a scrap that happened on O'Connell Street the other
day. No, it wasn't. It was at the Gaiety Theatre, beside Stephen's Green Shopping
Centre.
And it
was all posh Irish lads, absolutely.
Kicking lumps out of each other.
Kicking lumps. Now, I would see them as a danger as well, you know.
Listen, Dublin has gone so bad in the last year. It's absolutely disgusting. And it's Irish people as well as foreign nationals. But the whole point of this topic is, because let's not go off the topic, why is their government, there's no reason for them to be letting all these male non-nationals in to sleep in parks. The whole
sorry, can I, again, I'm going to stress, Rachel, the men, all bar one, that were in that encampment along the Talca River up in Ashtown, they were all European Union citizens.
It doesn't matter. Why are they in tents in their parks, in their local parks?
They're entitled or otherwise to sleep in a tent. Their nationality is irrelevant because they're all legally here.
Yeah, but the point is...
You can go to Poland tomorrow and sleep in a tent if you want to.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. That's the thing.
No, of course you wouldn't. No more than I would.
So I wouldn't do it. And a government, the place is already in a state. Ireland is falling apart and they're making it worse. And if we don't stand up and use our voices, well, then what would we do? Just let it all happen?
No, but we...
Just let our kids be raped. Let our kids be attacked in the daytime on O'Connell Street. There wasn't one guard around on Friday. This is Friday at 3 o'clock in the day.
Do you genuinely... Rachel, do you genuinely believe...
Sorry, it cut across you. Sorry, what was 3 o'clock in the day?
Where my 15-year-old was with his friend, the 14.
Sorry, and there was apologies.
Non-foreign national abusing women verbally and waving a knife.
Okay.
My 15-year-old was terrified.
Okay,
I had that conversation, how to protect myself and what to do if anyone comes
down. But I assume you'd have that conversation with your kids anyway, regardless of the... I mean, I teach my kids that there are scumbags out there, regardless of nationality. I mean, a scumbag is... when I see a scumbag brandishing a knife, that's a scumbag. I don't judge on what nationality they are. A scumbag is a scumbag. A rapist is a rapist. A rapist is a rapist, regardless of what colour their skin is. You know what I mean? So we should be teaching our children about that.
I absolutely agree with you, right? But when does that have been a young girl raped by foreign nationals, allegedly, all right? Obviously the fear is going to be there in kids. So if my kid is fearing being raped, and I have to have the conversation with her, because we don't know the truth, because they're not telling us the truth. We should be warned. We should be told.
Okay.
But then all these stories I've made up, but there's nothing being said.
Okay. No, I understand the point you're making.
You've actually brought up an interesting point, and I want to address it, because a lot of people are commenting about this, and I think it's important to address it. And I know it's upsetting you that we're using when talking about that alleged sexual assault, that we're using the word alleged. And let me explain.
Well, mind you, using it. Yeah.
But some people are getting very upset about it. And I want to explain to people the position that we're in as a media organisation. Okay.
I get it.
I know you do. And it's no disrespect to any victim of any sexual crime. In the eyes of the law, we don't make up these stories, okay? Or we don't make up the laws. In the eyes of the law, before something goes to court and before a verdict is established, like with the Belfast rape trial that happened 3 years ago, before someone is convicted in a court of law, the media have a responsibility to say that any crime is alleged, okay? If you don't say that, you could end up collapsing a trial, and it has happened in the past. Now, I'm sure none of you would want to see a trial, like if it actually even goes to trial, being thrown out of court because the media were saying, oh, it definitely happened. You can't say something has definitely happened until a book of evidence is at least served before a court of law. Now, I get that you understand that, Rachel, but an awful lot of people don't.
The same time, right? When we hear things like this, and when, like, you know what's true when you know what's not true. Like, when you're intelligent, you know the truth.
I know, but in the same way, in the same way I could say now, Rachel, I heard from a neighbour that lives down the road from you that you...
Your story, no. You're mixing people up when you do it, so don't
the point I'm trying to make is I could say, Rachel, someone just messaged in the show right now saying that they know you from Fingus and that you poured boiling water over your dog one day.
Time.
No, wait, that's the point. You can't.
For the first 22 minutes, you talked about the reporter going into the park. She reported on nothing. She saw nothing. So there's no story there. That's what she's saying is all alleged as well. But when we hear stories of a woman being raped by a couple of foreign nationals, you've got to have compassion for the women and the children in the area.
Okay, but we have gone above and beyond in letting people like yourself, Rachel, air your view, and it is clear that there is fear.
I appreciate it.
It is clear that there is fear. And the point of this podcast is no other media organization is covering this story in the way in which we are here on Opinions Matter. Let me just stay there for one second.
Can I just repeat before I, because I'm going to leave. I'm at Lidl. I need to go get me shopping. But can I just repeat? I don't go through Facebook. I don't follow all the scaremongering. I'm not that type of person that we're feeding.
Okay, but let me just, before you go into Lidl, I want to just play this message for you that I've been asked to play. Hang on.
That woman is just basically anti-immigration and she's racist. She's just not saying it, but she is. No, I can't come on. I'm busy at work here.
Okay, what do you want to say to that? You're anti-immigration and racist. You won't admit it, but that's what you are.
Give over. Sure, my son's had to go into a different part of the world, and he's over there walking and doing great. So listen, I've no problem with anyone coming into Ireland if they're going to work, if they're going to participate and be part of the community. But when they start living in parks and when the children are living in fear, and then when there's, like, men waving knives at my 15-year-old, like, come on, I'm going to live in fear. I'm going to just speak the truth. And it's the truth. If people want to label me racist because I'm speaking the truth, well, then what can I do?
All right, Rachel,
I'm not going to stay quiet.
Rachel, enjoy your shopping. Thanks for talking to us.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Let me bring in this WhatsApp voice note from Keith.
Lads, I hear what you're saying there, right? You still want these refugees looking bad in any way whatsoever. Right, can you explain to the people on air about the man in the provision centre threatening them two women, threatening that he'd kill them and their kids because they hadn't got money or a cigarette for them? Now, you're trying to tell me that's one bad apple out of how many thousand into the country? People are in genuine fear, right? And it's not because there's so many people going around spreading words on Facebook and this and that and all. We've seen the fucking videos that came out of fucking Europe. We're looking at places like France that has no-go areas. You call places like Jobstown no-go areas. You think these lads get a foothold in this fucking country, that's going to be it. It's going to be a no-go area. That's exactly what it's going to be. Nobody will be able to go fucking anywhere. Right? I have a young daughter. I have a niece. And at the ages of 12 and 13... Right, these lads coming from wherever, like, no documents, no nothing, they can up and disappear. He's missing the fucking reality of it. They'd be up and disappear and nobody know fucking nothing. And we'd be left with whatever fucking happens. God forbid that, I don't know, it does ever happen. But this is the time to act. This is the time to do it. Nobody wants to round up the ones who's already here, the refugees who's been here over the years. When you add men between the age of 24 and 40, right, that's army age. So do the math on that one. Army age. No younger, no older.
Voted Irish Current Affairs Podcast of the Year. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
Curtis, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Curtis?
How's it going?
Good, thanks. What did you want to say on this story?
I just want to start off with, we have 11,632 people homeless in Ireland. And this study was taken on December of the 22nd.
That's correct.
We have 5,356 of these people are on the streets of Dublin. And this was confirmed by the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien. He acknowledged that the number of homeless people was increasing and said that Ireland is in a challenging position. This is on the 28th of October, 2022. The nationalities of the adults recorded in 2021 show that 62% of the homeless adults were Irish, 21% were European Economic Area or UK, and 17% were outside from the rest of the world. But also, as we said, we're in a challenging position with the homeless people. We have now set a new world record for the number of new asylum seekers in 2022 for Ireland. We set a new record for the amount of asylum seekers that we've let in. We've let in 13,309 people from around the world in the last year. In the past, right, so 13,319 sounds a lot more than 11,632, correct?
Yes.
So how can we allow 14,000 people from around the world to seek asylum here in Ireland when we have 11,000 people homeless, with 62% of them being Irish?
Okay, here's the thing. Ireland as a nation has signed certain conventions that we have to take in asylum seekers and listen to their case. And if their case is rejected, then they're eventually thrown out of the country. That's what we have to do, along with all the other countries in the European Union.
Doesn't seem correctly, because last year deportation took place. There was more than 2,000 ordered and issued, but only 298 were actually enforced, with the 2,000 people that were ordered that were supposed to be deported back to their country according to crimes. And this was done in 2008, a study by Irish Examiner.
Okay. So I'm not going to argue any of that, the points that you're making, because I happen to think that our asylum system in Ireland is very, very broken and needs to be fixed urgently and needs to be sped up.
I just want to touch on about the rapes. We can understand that rape has always been a thing and it always will be.
Unfortunately.
But it says the number of rapes being reported from the Gardaí continues to increase. Statistics from the first half of 2022 shows that it has increased by 23%. And even from then, it has increased also another 11% from 2009. So from 2009 onto 2022, it increased 11%. And then from 2021, it has now increased 23% from the first half of 2022.
My point about this was, Curtis, from what the figures you're giving out, I gave out figures at the start of this show as well and said that in 2021, about the what was it, 2,000 or something recorded serious sexual assaults. And my point is that I feel that sexual assault is the most disgusting act that someone can do. It really is. It's absolutely, it makes my skin crawl. But I think there are certain individuals, not everybody, but certain individuals are using it as a scare tactic to turn people against asylum seekers. Would you or would you not agree with that?
No, maybe there is some sort of conflict going on there. But I can't say anything because I'm definitely not a racist person.
No, but by the way, that word has not been used once by my message.
I'm eliminating the excuses that you could use because, I don't want you having any sort of idea.
What I'm hearing from you, Curtis, is... hang on. From your statistics, which you've regurgitated for us, I'm hearing from you exactly what I believe. And what I believe is that our asylum system is badly broken and needs to be rapidly sped up so that if somebody's asylum is not granted, they are deported immediately. It's not happening, it's not fast enough, and I agree with you on all of that.
But do you also agree that there has been an increase in crime and a lot of people have these suspicions that a lot of these people are unvetted migrants that actually
That is the suspicion that some people have, but there is absolutely no foundation in fact to back that up.
Yeah, I just want to give fact, this is on Sweden, so about 58% of men convicted in Sweden of rape
We're not in Sweden. Until we have statistics that have been released from Sweden in the same way here in Ireland, then this is all conjecture, it's all speculation, it's all a belief. Yeah. And that's the point that I'm trying to make.
So the figures you're talking about are in 2021, it was found that 59.2% of those people convicted were born outside of Sweden. That is a shocking figure. I think everybody is on this. I'm a father of two young girls as well who will be growing up in this new Ireland, and I think everybody, when it comes down to it, is on the same hymn sheet. We all want a safe Ireland for our children.
People are welcome. All nationalities are welcome. But we just need people to be vetted. We need to make sure these people are not criminals.
Curtis, with the greatest respect, you're going out around Dublin at the weekend. You're not vetted. I'm not vetted. Adrian's not vetted.
I'm born and raised.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're less likely to rape. Jesus.
There's no criminal record. I just have to ask the question.
No, but hang on, Curtis. What country was Larry Murphy born in?
Larry Murphy is an exemption. No, but one person.
Now, what country was he born in?
How many Larry Murphys? Just name a couple more Larry Murphys. These are only examples.
Well, hang on, Curtis. Most rape cases, people are named in to protect the victim in the case. That just happens to be. You seem to be pushing out this thing that rape didn't happen in Ireland before foreign nationals came in, and that's just not true.
And again, Curtis, with your statistics from Sweden, when we have similar statistics in Ireland, then we'll talk about Ireland.
Yeah, but Curtis,
but we don't.
No, but Curtis would argue that it'd be too late then.
That's speculation that may happen.
Yeah. Then I can argue my side.
Very quickly, Curtis, because I'm nearly out of time.
Who is going to do the statistics?
Obviously.
We're asking the people. We need more. Like, why aren't the politicians speaking to us? Why is nobody answering us?
And what answers are you looking for?
We need somebody to do a study on this also. How many people are actually convicted felons and people of sexual assault were from foreign nationals?
That's a reasonable question, and I don't know why those answers aren't being provided.
But as
Jeremy said, the identity of an awful lot of rapists is concealed in order to protect the identity of the victim. That's the way it's been in this country for many years, so maybe we will never get those sorts of statistics.
But as well, when any woman goes out in town on a weekend night, yeah, and she's in a club situation or a pub situation, the chances are, and this is sad and it's actually scary, the chances are is that she is in a venue with several men who have committed rape. Maybe never found guilty of it, but have committed rape, yeah? There are rapists everywhere. Because it's a very, sadly, a very common crime. And you can't vet against rape, okay? A rapist doesn't become a rapist until they commit the rape, yeah? So, you know, most of the men living in your community are not vetted either. How do you vet someone? How do you sit down and interview someone and say, okay, you can only come into Ireland if you promise not to sexually assault any of our women? That's not practical.
As regards the undocumented thing, I understand the concerns about the amount of undocumented migrants in this country. It is estimated over 3,000 came into the country last year, arrived into Ireland without documentation. In other words, they'd no passport by the time they got here. And I understand how that is a great concern to everybody, to be honest with you. Let me have a listen to this from Neil.
Adrian, Jeremy, the unfortunate thing is the government went about this the complete and utter wrong way, okay? They just let everybody in, all right? No matter what, they just let them all in. No guard of it, no nothing whatsoever, okay? And that all should have been done. They just came in from every different type of country, okay? They're not listening to us, the government. They just don't care, all right? If I'm getting a lodger into my home, okay, he has to be vetted. We have to know all about him. They're just coming in, okay? We don't know anything about them, and everyone's just worried, all right? And they're fearing. And that's just the way it is. The government are going about it the wrong way, and that's the problem. They're just ignorant to what we feel. Cheers, lads.
All right, Neil, thanks very much indeed. I just said a second ago, I understand the concern that many people have about the amount of people who are in Ireland who have arrived into the state seeking asylum without a passport to their name. I do get that.
You know, it's very sad. We're going to speak to a woman, Samantha, in a moment, who was given dogs abuse on her page for voicing her opinion. You know what's really, really sad, and I think we can all agree on this, that no matter what side you're on, and people go on, oh, Adrian and Jeremy, they're pro-immigration, even though you've just said that you believe it's seriously flawed. I believe that too. And I believe we all want the same thing. We all want a safe Ireland for our kids to grow up in. But it's really, really sad to see Ireland divided at the moment.
I mean, absolutely, I agree.
You've protests taking place this week that are anti-fascist protests. You've protests taking place this week that are the out-out-out brigade. That's what I won't call them fascists. I'll call them the out-out-out brigade. Get them all out. I saw a woman commenting on her page earlier. They should be terminated like ants. Like, Jesus Christ. And I'm just sad. I'm sad for all of us that the country is now split down the middle.
The country has now been ripped apart in the way in which the United States was, and we all looked and laughed at it.
We are literally
repeating history.
We're a melting pot here now at the moment. We really are.
Let me squeeze in Samantha's call, because Samantha, you were getting dogs abuse on our Facebook page, I believe.
Yeah, lads. How are you doing today?
Good. Not a bother, thank you. Go on, what did you want to say?
I got some comments there, but it was just about scaremongering that's going on social media. And like, this is to worry that something terrible is going to happen. And then if it does need to go to court because of what people are saying on social media, it won't stand up in court for these people that are being raped or are being sexually assaulted. You know, so...
And I totally agree. And this is what we've been at pains to try and explain to everybody here, that, you know... this alleged assault, for example, in Finglas is just that, alleged. But then people, as Jeremy mentioned earlier on, have decided to publish the name of the alleged victim. And then another alleged victim comes along and says, no, that wasn't me. You know, it's
the same thing happened 4 years ago.
Trial by social media is what it's called.
The same thing happened with the Anna Creasel case. When people were naming boy A and boy B, even though the legal experts, who you should listen to, by the way, don't listen to Deco in Ballymoney, who has a Facebook account, okay? The legal experts were saying, don't name boy A or boy B because you could collapse the trial. And straight onto Facebook. Now I know his name. Those people all ended up in court and the trial could have collapsed. Nobody wants a sexual assault trial to collapse because of social media. And that's what can happen.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to say here. Like, people are putting up different things every day and some of them are so silly. It's just, it's painful to watch. Mm. Like, there's a picture going up this morning of a fella standing at a bus stop. His hand is on his face because he's probably so embarrassed that somebody's taking a picture of him.
Yeah, I saw that photograph.
And then they're saying he's a non-national or whatever he is. How do they know?
Yeah, did they stop these people and ask to see their credentials?
Like, no, I didn't see that post. Describe that to me.
It's a photograph taken from a car. Now, again, I'm not saying whether it's true or not. It's not for me to say I wasn't there, but it's a photograph taken from a car. Like if I was in the passenger seat of a car taking a photograph of a guy standing in a high-vis jacket at a bus stop. Now, he's just standing at a bus stop, and the post on Facebook is making all sorts of allegations that he followed her around and stalked her and all this sort of stuff, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was, but it was just ridiculous. It's just one thing after the other. And that's what I'm worried about. My concerns are about people that actually have to turn up in court and have to go there for the real reasons, you know?
My fear, Samantha, is that the wrong person is going to get beaten up. Because then, say, for instance, that fella standing at the bus stop. If he's completely innocent of all allegations about it, he'll get the shit kicked out of him.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm pretty scared about stuff like that too. My son has dark skin. Thank God he's gone out of country today. He's gone to live another life. But he could be standing at a bus stop somewhere. Somebody could say, oh, look at him. He's dark skinned. He's after being up to something. You just don't know what's going to turn around. And it's going to get worse before it gets better if people keep continuing.
We were talking about the fear that is in Finglas at the moment. We heard about the protest on Saturday in the Garda station. Do you understand that fear, or do you believe that fear is being whipped up?
I think there's a fear in Finglas well before all this happened. There was a fear of the drug dealers. There was fear of rapists over there. But it's going to add to it, obviously. Do you know? And I do understand the concerns of women about their children, the whole lot. I have a daughter too, and I have concerns. But we can't just go out there and point the finger at people and say, oh, well, you're different looking. You don't live in this country, so you've obviously done something wrong. We have to know exactly what these people are doing before we make accusations against them.
Good to talk to you, Samantha. Thanks very much indeed. Let me squeeze in a couple more voice notes before we wrap this up. This is Shannon.
Adrian, this is for the culture that got on and said we're anti-immigration. I'm here in work with about 10 people from different countries. We all get along great and nothing. There's no racism at all in this job. But they are coming in, they're getting put into Finglas and Ballymun and the likes of all them areas because we're known to be ran down. That is not the case. We still have kids here. Like, I'm a girl, I have to order rape whistles. I'm afraid to walk around. They are terrorising people, they're chasing people, they're running after people. These aren't alleged. There's videos going around.
All right, and let me bring in Brian.
Hello there, Adrian, Jeremy. I know you're saying we're not in Sweden, but I tell you, you'd have to be blind to not see what's happened all over Europe for the last 10, 15 years. You know, and we need to be learning from these countries. Crime and like rapes, murders gone through the roof in every single one of them. And Sweden are the last country to say they can't cope anymore. And that's for letting people through the airport without passports is just insane. They're not holding them. They're arriving at the airport with no documentation because they have ripped them up and just let them out in the streets of Ireland. That is crazy in any fucking planet. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to argue that point, Brian. I have to say, I can't get my head around how We cater for people who arrive into this state with no passport, no documentation, without a good enough excuse.
The whole thing is one big, pardon my French, clusterfuck. That's what it is. Everything that's happened here, and to see people fighting against each other, marching out against each other, arguing with each other like they have on this show for the last hour. I just want to say that before we wrap up this podcast, because undoubtedly people will say, oh, you only gave one side of the story. If you believe that, you weren't listening to the same topic.
No, because we had all those callers on.
Yes. If anything...
Olivia, Rachel,
yep.
Kira, 80, Curtis.
80%... of the calls were agreeing with the protests and the get them out. So you can't say, if anything, the topic was balanced
in the opposite direction. Yeah.
And for those of you who are going to claim as well, oh, Adrian, pro-immigration, someone sent us a message last night, we're in the government's paychecks. Can I just explain something to you?
Don't bother.
No, we work for ourselves.
Yeah.
We
are self-employed. This Opinions Matter podcast
is run by a company that we own.
Yes.
Well, I own. Adrian is kind of a shareholder.
You believe that, don't you?
So you are.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, that's it from us on this latest Opinions Matter podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to share it onto your own social media platforms and let others know that we do this podcast every single day from our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Port Marnock. Thank you for listening. Hit subscribe or follow. Click the little bell icon on Spotify and we will catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening.
Opinions Matter. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.